It may be an understatement to say that the nuclear family has gone through some transitions in recent years. In fact, the traditional, more common family model of a husband, wife, and some children could soon become uncommon if the current trends continue. More and more families fall into the blended family model and are needing and seeking counsel for the issues that pertain specifically to them. And there are a lot of issues to address. Unfortunately, we in the church aren't always tuned into those needs. But that's not the case today, as we delve into what it takes to shape the smart stepfamily. That's next on Licensed to Parent. Well, welcome once again to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long, wilderness-based, Christ-centered residential program for teens in crisis and, well, by extension, for their families. Our host on Licensed to Parent is the founder and director of Shepherd's Hill, Trace Embry, and I'm Rich Rozzle. And, Trace, this is a topic that I guess hits close to home for you as well, because not only did you experience a life in blended homes of sort during your childhood, but you're also seeing a whole lot more blended families coming through the gates at Shepherd's Hill these days, are you not?
Boy, are we, Rich. You know, as a kid, I bounced back and forth between my mom's house and my dad's house from the time I was almost 6 years old until I got out of high school. And my dad was faithful every weekend. He didn't miss a weekend between the time I was six and 18 to pick my my sister and me up. And that meant a lot to us. You know, my mom and dad both remarried to my step-parents within about a year of being divorced from one another. So though I'd eventually have five half-brothers and sisters, I never had to deal with step-siblings living under either roof. So I can't really speak authoritatively on those dynamics. But I can tell you this, the whole blended family thing can bring complications to family dynamics that most people would never dream of. So it's a blessing to be able to talk to someone today who can offer some counsel to our listeners in this area, because I have a feeling that there might just be a couple of folks out there in radio land who are smack dab in the midst of some very thorny blended family issues and looking for some answers to some very tough questions.
Well, joining us today to remove some of those thorns and hopefully leave us smelling like a rose is Ron Deal. Ron is the director of Family Life Blended, which is a ministry of family life. He's the author and co-author of several books on the subject, including The Smart Step Family, The Smart Step Dad, The Smart Step Mom, Dating and the Single Parent, and The Smart Step Family Marriage. He also voices the Family Life Blended short radio features and is one of the most widely read authors on stepfamily living in the country. Ron is a licensed marriage and family therapist. He frequently appears in the national media, including Family Life Today and Focus on the Family, and he conducts marriage and family seminars around the country. Ron and his wife, Nan, have been married since 1986. If math serves me right, that's about 31 years. And they have three boys.
Newlyweds, Rich, newlyweds. Ron, welcome to Licensed to Parent.
Wow, what an honor to be with you guys today. Thanks for having me on your broadcast.
Amen. Well, listen, as a product of a broken home, I just want to commend you on a very insightful read. Thanks for writing that book.
Thank you.
The subject of blended families is certainly a very complicated one. From your experience, what do blended families wish others, particularly in the church, understood more about their situation?
Oh, great question. I think, number one, it would be that life is just complicated for them. And the simplistic, and I'll just be candid, the simplistic little petty answers that non-stepfamily people throw at them often don't work. And really the net result of those simplistic, well, why don't you just do this? Well, why is it such a problem for you to influence your stepchild? Why can't you just get them to obey? You know, if you just do what Kevin Lehman says, it'll all be okay, right? Five days and you'll have a new... Well, you know, if you're a biological parent, those strategies often do have good impact on a child. But if you're a step parent who's still trying to figure out where you belong, if you're a step parent to whom the child is saying, you know, it's fine that you're in the house, it's fine you're married to my mom or dad, but you're not my parent, then you don't have the measure of influence to get things done like other biological parents do. It's just far more complicated.
Yeah.
And so I think we marginalize stepfamilies when we throw at them the simplistic little condescending, well, why don't you just do this? Why is that so hard?
Right.
Or then there's the other one of, well, you kind of got yourself into this mess because you went through a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And so we use people's past to heap onto them guilt as if that's going to be encouraging, and it's not, right? So I just think there's a, you know, listen to me, hear me, realize that this is just harder than it is for you in your situation, and we need some support. We need somebody come alongside us. We don't need judgment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You touched on it, but I want to ask you the question anyway. How should a step-parent respond to the age-old rebuttal against their authority when the stepchild says, you aren't my parent or you aren't my father?
Well, let me give you the standard answer and then kind of explain what's behind it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if a child says, well, I'm not cleaning my room because you're not my mom and I don't have to do what you say, my suggestion to the step-parent is respond with two messages. The first one is this: you're right, I'm not. I'm not your mom. And this is the compassion moment. If I were you, I'd be upset that I'm here telling you to clean your room because mm-hmm. I'm not your mom.
Yeah.
And I get it. This is hard for you, and you really wish your mom were here instead of me. Now listen to that.
That's
the reality of the situation. That's joining the child in their heart about how hard this is, the complexity for them, the fact that they've gone through some loss and mom is not here for whatever reason, death, divorce, whatever the story is. And you're joining with that child in the complexity of this moment.
Yeah, you're being empathetic.
Empathetic.
You can only appreciate that. Yeah.
And that actually kind of gains, you know, some influence over time when you do that. The second part of the message is, here's the second part of the message. So the first part is, you're right, I'm not your mom. And if I were you, I'd be kind of upset that I'm telling you to clean your room. Part two of the message. However, everybody in this house has to clean their own room. And that includes you. So get busy.
Yeah.
Or we'll use your allowance and pay your brother to do it for you. And then you turn and walk out of the room.
There you go.
Right? You don't wait for, okay, I love you and you're a wonderful person. No, you just use that authority. You turn and walk out of the room.
Amen.
Now, the only way this works, guys, is if behind the scenes, before this moment ever happened, biological dad has said to his wife, I'm on your side. I'm on your team. It's you and me together. And he has said to his children, hey, look, when I'm not around, she's in charge, just like a teacher at school, just like your coach on the football field, just like when the police officer pulls you over, you respect that person. That's what I expect out of you as it relates to your stepmom. You don't have to love her, but you are going to respect her. If he has set that in place, then the stepmom can get something done. But if he is undercutting her behind the scenes, if he is not supporting her, if after this moment he comes back and lets the kid out of the situation and they don't have to use their money to pay the brother, then the stepmom is undercut, she's powerless, she's helpless, and it is an extremely frustrating situation, not only for her, but eventually for the whole family.
Yeah. And as you point out, the very first thing that gives strength to what she's saying is if the husband and wife have first had the conversation, and if the biological parent in this scenario has already let the kids know this is the case. I should point out, my wife and I are a traditional family, not a blended family. And my 17-year-old son still tells me, you're not my mom.
Right.
And then he tells my wife, you're not my dad. He does it in jest, but I was going to say, even we get that. Let me ask you this, though, talking about the relationship between the parents and the children in a blended family like this. You know, good parents obviously want to look out for the safety and the well-being of their kids. Those same parents, though, when they remarry, would naturally want to say, okay, the preeminent relationship here is my relationship with my spouse, because a good marriage is what leads a good family.
Mm-hmm.
But this
mm-hmm.
creates problems in the blended family. How do you find the balance there between the spousal relationship and the relationship with the kids in a blended family?
There's three words I talk about: attachment, loss, and loyalty. And all three of those dynamics hit in a situation like this. So for the biological parent, attachment is their emotional connection with their spouse, with their children, okay? Loss is, there's a backdrop to this whole story. Somebody died, there's been a divorce, a family broke down, we had to change, you know, houses and move and change schools and friends, and we lost money, and okay, there's a big loss narrative underneath all of this. And then loyalty has to do with belonging and can I count on you? And in an environment where kids have already lost somebody, they don't want to lose anybody else.
Right.
Neither does the biological parent. So the bind for the parent is, yes, you're my spouse, I'm married to you, and you're number one in my life. And but then in the moment where they look at their child's face and they see distress, they see feeling rejected or feeling discouraged or depression, that can really capture a biological parent if they're not careful and right. make them weak. And make them turn away from their spouse and be unified as parents and give in to their child just because they see the pain and they want to alleviate that pain. Now, I want them to be sensitive to their child's pain, but sure. at the end of the day, they still have to say, but I'm married, and this relationship, our marriage, is what allows us to be parents.
Yeah.
And if we're not unified there, then it's divide and conquer.
And if kids don't understand that, then what?
Well, let's put it into a scenario. Dad, you're just telling me no because she's here now. You would have never told me no before, but now that my stepmom's here, you're telling me no, I can't go over to Johnny's house. Mm-hmm. That's a major guilt message, right? Mm-hmm. So what does Dad say? Well, Dad can't give in to that. He can't fall prey to that.
Amen.
What he can say is, look, my wife is the most important adult in my world. Yep. Leave and cleave, and I'm going to be, you know, bound to her till death do us part. You, son, are my most important child in the world. All of you guys, all of you kids are. I love you guys. You're number one in my heart as far as kids go. But she and I are a team, and we are leading together. And you're right. Things have changed since she entered the picture because she's influenced me. I'm thinking differently about some things. And yes, this has changed. And if I were you, I'd be upset about it. However... Mm-hmm. You can't go to Johnny's. This is not her doing. This is our doing.
Yeah,
we're a team, and we've decided you're not going over to his house. Now, I love you, and that's the end of it.
Well, in the case of divorce, there are going to be some kids who are going to say, listen, you couldn't even commit to mom. Now, how do I know you're going to commit to this mom or five other moms? I mean, how does the parent respond to something like that?
Are you suggesting that kids would use guilt to try to manipulate?
No, oh no.
Yeah, of course not. No, that never happened.
Yes. You're not my mom.
Yes, that happens. You know, yes, they, and you know, there's always an agenda behind that, right? That
sure.
kid who's trying to get something.
He just wants what he wants.
He wants what he wants, right? So he's going to use your story, your past, your decisions to against you, right? It's pretty smart, actually, you know? You can't fault them for trying.
Right. God doesn't explain all the whys behind what he tells us to do. I think a lot of parents think that they owe their kid an answer to the why, and I'm all for giving the why. But if Junior just doesn't get it because his frontal lobe isn't fully developed or whatever the case may be, then Junior just doesn't get it. And
yes.
We have to go on.
Guys,
and
I've got to jump in and put both of you in timeout for a minute. we've got to take a break and just go to your corners, and we'll be back in a moment. Our guest today on Licensed to Parent is Ron Deal. Ron is the director of Family Life Blended, a ministry of family life, and the author or co-author of a number of books, including the one we're talking about today, The Smart Step Family. Back with more conversation on Licensed to Parent right after this.
Remember back in the late 80s and early 90s as the internet hit the scene? You know, the information superhighway? We had great hopes that this new knowledge economy would make our teens more aware, diversify their tastes, and improve their verbal skills. But the enlightenment didn't happen. Technology has had the opposite effect. What once promised great hope for the future is now used to indulge in diversions. The Dumbest Generation by Mark Bauerlein, subtitled How the Digital Age Stupefies Young Americans and Jeopardizes Our Future, or Don't Trust Anyone Under 30, presents a portrait of the young American mind at this critical juncture, revealing the true cost of the digital age and our last chance to fix it. The Dumbest Generation by Mark Bauerlein, available in the store at licensedtoparent.org. Proceeds benefit the Shepherd's Hill Academy Scholarship Fund.
Hi, this is Ravi Zacharias. It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent. I remember talking to somebody in the entertainment world once who said their entire target audience was an 18-year-old, and typically an 18-year-old male. They said the influence they wield in a culture around with their friends is enormous. So a ministry like this, to rescue those who have been seduced along the way, I cannot say how important this is. And to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
With the generous gifts from people just like you, we're able to provide parents with practical insights to navigate the challenges families face in today's culture, as well as helping troubled teens in our year-long residential program. To learn more and to donate, visit licensedtoparent.org.
This is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long Christ-centered wilderness-based therapeutic program for teens in crisis and, by extension, their families. We are talking today about some of the challenges of blended families or step families, and our guest on the program is Ron Deal, director of Family Life Blended and author of the book we're talking about, The Smart Step Family. And Ron, I know you guys have a big event coming up at the end of next week, so tell us about that.
Blended and Blessed is a one-day live stream event that will take place live in Little Rock, Arkansas. If you live anywhere near us, we'd love to have you come and join us. But you can participate in this event on your mobile device, on your computer at home, or churches are hosting this all around the country, around the world, actually. And you can gather with other stepfamily couples. It's a day of inspiration, speakers, worship, drama, all aimed at helping to strengthen stepfamily marriages and stepfamilies in general.
Okay, so live in Little Rock, but live streamed as well.
That's right, around the world. We have folks already signed up in South Africa and Malaysia and Australia, so that's kind of fun. Familylife.com is where you're going to go. Just look for the Blended and Blessed conference information, and you can get tied in and learn how to host it. And by the way, it's free. It's free to host. It's free to attend.
Very nice. All right. Very nice. So churches in our listening audience need to contact you at familylife.com. We, right before the break, you had, a follow-up thought to what we were talking about. What continue that thought that I so rudely interrupted.
Well, no, it's okay. We were talking about when a parent gets kind of cornered by their kid based upon what's happened in the past and the child's kind of holding that against you or trying to use that against you. And really, the principle I want to give parents, and you made a very, very good comment. Sometimes kids just don't understand why we're saying what we're saying, and we just need to stick to our guns and follow through with it anyway.
Right.
But on those occasions when a parent feels stuck and the kid's kind of using your past against you, I think you just own it. I think that what you need to do in that moment is say, you're right. Mm-hmm. I blew it. I made some mistakes back there. I made some choices that have caused difficulty to you, to our family, whatever the case is.
Yeah.
And then you say, but you know what? I'm trying to walk with God. I'm trying to do right. And I feel like this is the best decision for all of us at this point. Mm-hmm. And then you follow through with that. Too many parents dig the hole deeper for themselves by trying to excuse the past rather than just owning it. That's a part of parent training.
That's big. I think that's huge. Absolutely. Well, what counsel do you have for blended Christian parents when one or both of their non-Christian exes have joint custody and offer their kids liberties and options in their homes that you know are dangerous to their spiritual, emotional, and physical well-being?
Yeah, we're talking about co-parenting here, and co-parenting in general can be frustrating. Like you send the kids to bed at 9 o'clock, and they let them stay up till 10:30 on school nights, and you know, there's those sorts of things. But then there's situations like you're saying where there's values and spiritual beliefs, and God is not being taught or demonstrated, and discipleship is not being lived out in the other home, and that takes on a whole new level of concern. Just this morning, I had a Facebook message from somebody writing in with a scenario just to that effect. And the situation is her ex-husband, you know, has very lax rules. Her daughter's up late at night on social media, talking to boys, doing all sorts of things that can't happen in mom's house. And, you know, what do we do? Well, at the end of the day, this comes down to, you know, a couple different key things. One of them is your co-parenting relationship with the other home. That is your level of communication, the level of cooperation between you as ex-spouses has everything to do with whether or not you have any influence here. If you have a horrible ex-spouse relationship, they don't listen to anything you want or say or suggest. Well, and you certainly can't take a control attitude, but you could take a, hey, could we talk about Susie and bedtime and talking to boys late at night on her mobile phone?
Yeah.
And if you have a decent co-parenting relationship, they may not agree with everything. They may not buy into all your spiritual values, but you might get some level of cooperation.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, you're always be working on that co-parenting and trying to just improve it to whatever degree you can. You know, Romans 12 says, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone.
Right.
So you can do what you can do, but there's limits to that. But the other thing I want to add is, let's just take a worst case scenario where the other home doesn't care what you think. They don't have your Christian values and they're not going to bend at all. Okay. Well, in that case, your influence when the kids are in your home is everything. And so you have conversations where you try to incubate faith in them that they can carry with them and maybe even inoculate them against some of the things that they will hear or see or experience in the other home. So when dad turns on the TV and it's an R-rated movie, that's a real bind because we've talked about that. Yeah. You know, those are influences there that are not really. So how, what are you going to do when you're at your dad's house and that happens? Now, this is challenging because it puts kids in the middle. There's no way around it.
That's right.
It's putting your kid in the middle. Because in that moment, well, my dad says I can, and dad's kind of cool, and I don't want to make him disappointed in me by getting up and walking out of the room. And at the same time, if I don't walk out of the room, mom's going to be disappointed when she hears about it. That's a kid who's caught in the middle. There's no way around this.
But I see this all the time.
We're just trying to help them let spiritual values take over the child's heart in that moment. The other thing is, if this, you know, more highly spiritual, if that's the way to say it, parent is heavy-handed with this and, you know, wraps a lot of guilt into the messages to their child, then you're probably pushing them away from your values.
Yeah.
You got to be very gentle. You got to be very compassionate. And yet you're trying to inoculate them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ron, in today's society where we're rather sexually tied up in knots as a culture, we're not sure which end is up and which end is the right end to go anyway. I see a lot of problems that could come up in the blended family. For example, there are a lot of people who've gone through a really nasty divorce, and they may say, you know, I'd like to be in a relationship again, but heaven help me if I ever get married again.
Yes.
I don't want to get married. So therefore, they move in together.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not dealing with a second marriage, but you are dealing with a sort of a step-parent situation there. And that may not be an environment that you as the other parent want to send your child into. You know, in the case of one parent has strong Christian values and the other one doesn't. So I guess, how do you deal with that? But then on a second level, now that there doesn't seem to be any right or wrong, culturally speaking, as to young people having sex outside of marriage, when you're blending two families and you've got, you know, kids from one family now living under the same roof with kids of the opposite gender from the other family, how do you manage those relationships? I could see this becoming a very tangled mess.
Yeah, because kids are having sex by appointment today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Right. Okay, so let me take the first one, cohabitation. A cohabiting stepfamily is the most dangerous, statistically speaking, the most dangerous place for a child in America today.
Yep.
The abuse rates are higher than any other family configuration.
Yep.
Plus, we know cohabitation, you know, is unsettling for the couple's relationship. There's a higher breakup rate. There's a lot of science around this that says God is looking after you when he says, don't have sex outside of marriage. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, what are you teaching your kids about sexuality and purity? And, you know, when you... So, I mean, really think about it, it's not a healthy dynamic. Let me address the second one. Step-sibling romance and sexuality is something we should guard against and be mindful of in blended families. And often I find when I bring this up, people go, whoa, that's just weird, sick. I don't even want to think about that. You better, because if you got a 14-year-old young man going through puberty and a 15-year-old young lady going through puberty and they're walking around in their 90s and underwear at night, mm-hmm. you're just asking for trouble, right?
That's exactly right.
Just think about it and put some common sense boundaries into place. Let me just say, I talk about this at length in the Smart Step Family book, and there's an entire chapter on this in the Smart Step Dad, where we look at, you know, what if a stepfather finds himself, you know, just having passing sexual thoughts about his stepdaughter? What does he do with that? And then about step siblings, what happens if they've already engaged? I've dealt with and talked to blended family couples where the kids were dating before mom and dad started dating. And so do we now tell them to stop? You know, what's that all about? Mm-hmm. The weird thing is they're not brother and sister.
Yeah.
And so that natural taboo against incest is not there. Mm-hmm. And so it's just one of those things. It's not the end of the world. You don't have to panic, right? You don't have to freak out.
But you need to prepare.
You just need to prepare. Some common sense boundaries, some conversation. What? Talk to my 15-year-old about his stepsister? Yes.
Yep.
And it goes Amen. Like this. You're riding to school and you got 3 minutes in the car and it's a perfect opportunity. You got a captive audience, right? He can't get mm-hmm. out. And you say, hey, look, I just want you know, I've been thinking about this. You have a stepsister. She's kind of your age. She's cute. But she's not your sister. And someday you might just have this passing thought about her in a romantic sort of way. And your son looks at you like you've just, you know, grossed him out and he can't. And you say, nah, I know this would never happen to you. But if it did, other kids... Yeah. Who go through that, just learn how to dismiss that thought and go, you know what, I need to respect her. She's my stepsister. I'm not going to entertain that. I'm not going to walk into her bedroom at night without knocking. Yeah. And, you know, if I ever feel strange about that, you can talk to me.
Mm. Ron Deal, director of Family Life Blended and author of the book we've been discussing, The Smart Step Family. You can learn more about that, connect with Ron, and find other great parenting resources at familylife.com. And Ron, we'll give you one more chance to talk about that event that you've got coming up next week. Tell us the date and how people can connect.
Saturday, April 29th. The event is called Blended and Blessed. It's a free event to attend, free event for churches, small groups to host it. Go to familylife.com and look for Blended and Blessed.
Awesome. Thanks so much. And that is it for this week's License to Parent. Remember, you'll find us online at licensedtoparent.org, where you can also listen to programs covering other topics vital to godly parenting. You can read and subscribe to Trace's blog, and you can learn more about Shepherd's Hill Academy, our year-long residential program for teens. Remember, too, that your tax-deductible donations to License to Parent help support the Shepherd's Hill Scholarship Fund. That's the one that makes it possible for families on limited incomes to get the help that they need for their teens. You can donate securely online at licensedtoparent.org, and any help is a great blessing to us. Our program coordinator on Licensed to Parent is Daniel Fazina. Our technical producer is Carl Peets. For Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rozzle. Thanks for joining us today, and remember to tell your friends about the program. Then plan to be with us again next time to renew your License to Parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.